Quest. Thank you for those who are now here. Bless the service, the singing, the preaching, everything that is said and done. Let it be done only for your honor and for your glory. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
Amen. Choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand with me this morning? And let's turn over to page number 393. Page 393, as we all sing together this morning. Everyone stand and sing.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for a new day.
When we all
get to heaven, what a day
that will be.
When we all see Jesus, we'll sing
on the last.
Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall transcend the gold. When we all get to heaven, what a great day
when we all
see Jesus.
Sing that chorus again now. Never thought that we would have an opportunity to do this, but I've always wanted to do this. Please turn to 87.5 on your radio dial. Amen. And I'm trusting someone already has, and they're listening in with us this morning. I said this morning, what a great avenue to be able to reach someone and to be able to give up people an opportunity to be able to worship. Right from their car. What an awesome time. We are so excited about Easter Sunday morning, April the 4th. You please pray for the choir and the music department. We have some work ahead of us, and so we're looking forward to what God has in store. Again, that'll be April 4th. I believe we're starting service that Sunday morning at 10:30. Is that good? He said, yeah.
I was earlier the better.
All right. 10:30 that Sunday morning. And that give us a little extra time. We won't be feeling so rushed. So, again, the Easter Sunday morning, April the 4th at 10:30. Please pray for the choir this morning, Brother David, as he sings The Anchor Holds.
Journey through the long dark night out on the open sea. My faith alone, and yet His eyes were watching me, and the anchor
holds,
though the ship is battered. The anchor. visions, and I've had dreams. I've even held them in my hand, but I never knew those dreams could slip right through like they were only grains of sand. But the anchor holds.
Oh, the ship is tattered. The anchor holds. Oh, the sails are torn.
I have fallen on my knees as I pray.
again, Children's Church this morning. If you've not dismissed for that yet, you could do so at this time. Again, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. And the music was great this morning. And I know I was in the choir singing, but it was still great. It sounded great up there. Hope the music was a blessing to you this morning. We're excited over this radio station, and so please invite others to listen to that. If they're in Powder Springs, that is. We don't have any radio towers or nothing like that. We just purchased a radio transmitter, and Brother Randy hooked it up to our board and stuff we have, and so we're just excited about that. This morning we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Haggai for a few moments. Haggai chapter number 1. Look at some things here for a few moments. Let me say that we have to the deacons that are here this morning, we will have a brief 5-minute deacons meeting after the service, so remember that, all of you deacons. And so remember that. Also remember our time of prayer together just after the service. Haggai chapter number 1. Before I get into the message this morning, I do want to bow forward a prayer, and then we're going to mention a few things in introduction, and then we will bring the message. Father, we come to you as a needy creature. Lord, I pray that you would help me. Lord, I know the things that you've worked in my heart for this moment. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would quicken my mind, my spiritual thinking. And I pray that you would communicate it to the hearts of your people, the words that you have this morning. Lord, no doubt we are living in uncertain times. Times have been uncertain for years upon years, but the day and time we're living now where the church has been closed, what a scary, scary time this is. Lord, help us this morning to listen to your words, not Brother Justin's words, but God's words. Because, Lord, we want to do your will, and we want you to work through us here at Calvary. There's a wonderful heritage here down through the years, but, Lord, let it continue till Jesus comes. We love you, and we thank you, we praise you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. Before we get into Haggai, last week we were speaking out of the book of Habakkuk, and we talked about Habakkuk's heavy heart in so much that what he seen among God's people was very distasteful and detestful. God's people had fell into sin, and because of that, the Lord had burdened Habakkuk's heart, and it was going to get worse before better. We're not re-preaching last Sunday morning, but it's leading me up to this morning. It was going to get worse before it got better. And because of Israel's sin, the Lord was going to move on the hearts of the Chaldeans, and they were going to come into the land, and they were going to besiege the land. And Israel was going to be defeated. But then Habakkuk's heavy heart, it kind of transitioned in chapter number 2. And he said that he would be a watchman that was awake and not asleep. Chapter number 2 and verse 1, that's exactly what Habakkuk said. He says, I will stand upon my watch. And so Habakkuk said that I'm a watchman, and I need to be at my post at all times. And I do not need to be asleep. That's why he said, or in essence, he said, I will stand upon my watch. I will be alert when it comes to the posts that God has me at. By the time we get to chapter number 3, the book of Habakkuk, we see that Habakkuk's prayer life was intact. Because in verse number 1, he mentions a prayer. And in that prayer, he says, Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. And the book of Habakkuk concluded with Habakkuk's faith being strong. And he says, although the barns would be empty, he said, although in essence there will not be blooms on the trees, Habakkuk said, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. So we know that looking at the book of Habakkuk, he had a heavy heart. And yet, that heavy heart, he was able to carry that heavy load through faith. In believing in God that he was his sustainer, and that God would bring the accomplished end intended, and that God would ultimately bless the people of God. And so this morning, I want to move on to Haggai. And let me just say this, as we said last Sunday morning, that Haggai or Habakkuk, now Haggai, both were known as minor prophets. And they were minor prophets not because of the ability or lack thereof that they had, but they were minor prophets because of the size of their books. We know that Habakkuk had 3 chapters, and now Haggai only has 2 chapters. Minor prophets. But let me say this, they may have had minimal chapters in their books, but their ministry was not minimal. They had to know God and call upon God and trust God as much as the major prophets did, like Isaiah. We know there were 66 books in the book of Isaiah. Some even say that the book of Isaiah is a mini Bible within the Bible. And so, at any rate, when it comes to being one of these prophets in biblical times, one had to stay tuned into the Lord. One had to be alert and to not be afraid to share God's word. Can I say that's exactly what we need this morning? We need preachers and teachers. We need parents and grandparents to just stand up and tell their families, thus saith the Lord. We're living in a time where people want to have their ears tickled. We're living in a time where people want to know that they still have something great to offer the Lord. But in essence, none of us have anything great to offer the Lord. It's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, you see. And it's merely us coming before Him at His mercy and asking God to forgive us and to lead us in straight paths. So this morning we see another prophet of the Lord, Haggai. Let me say this about Haggai. Haggai was the first of the prophets, listen to this, to minister to Israel following the return from the Babylonian captivity. It was Haggai chosen to do this. Think about it. Israel was coming out of captivity. At least there was a remnant that came back. And we know that God had placed him there to minister to them. What an opportunity that was. Going through a time of captivity, there in Babylon, and having all of those evil leaders over you, and having all of that torment taking place in their life, and to have the exodus out of that evil place in Babylon with those evil people over Israel, and now Haggai, to have this kind of ministry. Really, it almost mirrors what we're going through today. We have been going through a very pandemic time, a time where this world has seen things transpire like none other. It's been a time of famine. It's been a time of fear And listen, God's people have had to reevaluate their faith life and their Christian life. We've had to examine where we stand on that. And really, we are people, or to be people of faith and not fear. But it's almost a mirrored time as it was when the children of Israel came out of exile, or came out there of that captivity. So now we have Haggai, and he was the first prophet to minister to this remnant during this time. I will say that Haggai was another obscure prophet that the Lord used. His name is only mentioned a couple other times, and it's in the book of Ezra, chapter number 5 and verse 1, and then in chapter number 6 and verse number 14. Haggai, another obscure prophet as Habakkuk was. And we know that the Lord has a way of doing that, raising up people to minister. And really, those people that minister from such obscure backgrounds, that's how they like that. Habakkuk was a man who wanted to maximize God and minimize himself. And yet Haggai was the same kind of man. He wanted to maximize the Lord and the house of the Lord and minimize himself. So he had an obscure origination. The name Haggai actually means festive or festive one. Some think he was born on a feast day. Others believe that in his name is a joyous indication of the prophecy that he gives. Because it's in the book of Haggai in chapter number 2 where he talks about the glory of the latter house. Haggai does. And so at any rate, whatever his name may be or may mean, we see that in his prophecy, it ends on a good note. The purpose of this book, the book of Haggai, it's to encourage God's people to, notice this, resume the building of the temple, which has been incomplete for a number of years. It was imperative that the people of God were to continue to build the temple, for the blessing of God would not abound on them unless they were obedient to continuing the work of God. Can I say this morning, in like manner, we must always remember that God is first. God is first. And let us not forget that God's divine order of things, it's His home for, or His house first. It's the temple of the Lord that comes first, and it's God's divine standards that comes first. It's God's word that comes first, and it's having a relationship with Him that comes first. And you see, the blessings follow that divine order. But many times it's the what's in it for us that comes first. Many times, and maybe it doesn't even happen because we want it to happen, but maybe it just happens because we get lost in the shuffle of it all. And God, that which was once first, has went down through the shuffle of our life and our situation and our circumstances and adversity and change and all of that. And whether realizing it or not, He has become second, then third, then fourth, then fifth. Any time when God is not first in our life, we'll find out that blessings do not follow. It's struggle, it's wrestle, it's heartache, it's heartbreak when the Lord is not first. So this morning I want to, just for a few moments, look at the life of Haggai and some of the words that he shares with the people of God concerning to continue to build this temple. I want to talk to you about Haggai's humble plea this morning. Haggai's humble plea. But in essence, this whole book deals with God first, putting God first. Notice, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 1, what the scriptures say. Haggai 1:1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and will be glorified, saith the Lord. That's going to be our main verses this morning, verse number 1 down through verse number 8. Again, Haggai's humble plea. I want you to notice that there are four things in this book that center around this plea that Haggai gives to continue the work of building the temple. And in like manner, I believe it's time to make some strides in continuing the work here at Calvary. It's time to, as he says in verse number 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. Number 1, I want you to notice the call. Haggai's call in verse number 1. He says, in the second year of Darius king, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, and here it is, the call of Haggai. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, that the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie in waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The call that Haggai gives out, I want to say that it is a twofold call. Number 1, it has to do with a sobering word. But then number 2, it has to do with an exciting word. The first part of this call that Haggai gives out that he receives from the Lord, it has to do, again, with being a sobering word. There is a set of priorities that he gives concerning this sobering word. In this chapter, chapter number 1, he mentions the work of the Lord, and he mentions how that it actually stopped. And now that the people are free from being in Babylon captivity, work has begun, but it wasn't with the house of the Lord. It had to do with their own houses. But number 2, this call that Haggai gives to the people, it's not only a sobering word, which has to do with priority, but it also has to do with an exciting word. If you get into chapter number 2, notice, if you will, in verse number 9, chapter 2 in verse number 9. He said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. You can jump ahead in verse number 23, and where the Bible says, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. You say, Brother Justin, what are you getting at with this first point, the call that Haggai gives? Well, it's one that is fair and balanced when it comes to the things of God. Because he gives, in chapter number 1, this he gives them this sobering word. But then in chapter number 2, he brings this exciting word. You know, the Bible is full of of a word from God being fair and balanced. And I say fair and balanced, I mean that, okay, you have, concerning salvation, you have, number one, man is wicked. Man is on his way to hell. But then you have the good gospel news that the Lord came to die for sinful, wicked man. And so we see that all through God's word, he gives a balanced message. There's two roads in life. One is to destruction. There's one also to blessing. And so it's a balanced message. And now we get to Haggai. And in chapter number one, he gives this sobering word. And then in chapter number two, there's this exciting word. As in contrast to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk had a heavy heart. Habakkuk said there was great sin in the land and that the Lord was going to turn the Chaldeans loose. Okay? A different kind of word, but yet it was a balanced word. Because by the time we get to the end of the book of Habakkuk, we know that the Lord was going to do what was right. This morning we're looking at Habakkuk's humble plea. And we see the call, again, has to do with a sobering word. And he mentions all of these things in verse number one. And then it has to do with an exciting word. And that has to do with the temple being rebuilt and the Lord being blessed. This morning we have a choice in the matter. This morning it matters what our decisions are that we make here at Calvary. The Lord's blessing will follow when we're building and continuing the work here. But the moment that we get caught up, and I'm starting with me, myself, and I, with what's going on in my home, what's going on with me and what I have going on, my own personal agendas, agenda. And if that becomes preeminent above Christ or above Christ, then the blessings will be cut off. And so I want things to start right with me. As your pastor, I want things to be in the right order. I want the Lord, and He is, but He needs to stay number one in my life and not to get lost in the shuffle. And then the Lord's work needs to continue at His church, and people need to continue to come in spite of how things have been this past year. We see that it was a fair and balanced message. There was the admonishment in verse or chapter number one. But then there was the blessing in chapter number two. Let me move on and make a little more better sense of what I'm trying to say. There's the call of Habakkuk or Haggai that went out. But number two, there was a concern here. A concern. Notice in verse number two, he says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say," talking about God's people, those who came out of captivity, "this people say, the time is not come that the Lord's house should be built." And so evidently the people had this change of agenda. The Lord's house hasn't been worked on, and there hasn't been a board added to the place in at least 10 years, most commentators say. They were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And a remnant was released. But we see here that the concern was the lack of concern. That was the concern. The concern was the lack of concern about God's house. And have we not, all of us at least, have experienced in some measure a departing from God's church? Now listen, let me say this. As I know and as I've experienced it, and as I've heard, some people have legitimate excuses for being home and watching it on Facebook and other avenues. But I wonder, for some, has that not crippled spiritually? I wonder, for some people, I'm not just talking about Calvary, I'm talking about in the whole church world, there are some occasions, there are some folks, and one man that I'm thinking about right now is Brother Jim Daly. was talking with him on the phone the other day, and he has been and is having severe breathing problems. He has to have a procedure soon, and this same procedure is going to be like every 3 months. I told him I wouldn't get into great detail, but for him, it would be very detrimental to get out in this stuff. But I wonder if there is a remnant during this pandemic time who has settled for TV church, and I don't know if they have a pad and a pen in their hand. I don't know if they're all in tune watching and writing down notes and praying and asking God for the very best for their life and their church. I don't know. But it seems to me there is a remnant out there that has fallen to the side. Because when you talk to some of them, it's like, it's not time to build God's church. It's not time to open up the doors of the church. Then you're in a grocery store and you pass them. You know? Listen, I'm shooting gun barrel straight with you this morning as I've experienced trying to glean some principles from God's Word. Who says it's not time to build God's church? Within this 1 year of this pandemic, we have learned so much about it. We know what we got to do. Wear a mask, space out, get the shot. We know those things. But if there's ever a time when God's people need to get back and continue God's work, it's now. We can't ride out this pandemic excuse anymore. God's blessings doesn't follow. God's blessings doesn't follow those who their priority list where God is second or third. Listen, you can worship God in your house. I understand that. You can worship God on the mission field. You can worship God in your car. You can worship God anywhere you go. But there's one thing that doesn't ever need to be neglected, and that is the assembling of ourselves together. And because it brings a fellowship, iron sharpeneth iron. We hold each other accountable. God's word goes forth and we're able to reach others. God's blessing this morning follows when we build His church. And so there was some within this concern of Haggai when he delivers this message from the Lord, again in verse number 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come. My question is, when will be the time? You remember when they were in captivity? And there was a particular time when they first got there. Listen to this. They were so discouraged in the land of captivity that they hung their harps in the willows. Remember that? I mean, they didn't have a song. They were in a foreign land. And so those instruments that they played in God's house so reverently and passionately, they were in a strange land. So they just, we just can't do it. We're in captivity. And so they hung their harps in the willows. But a couple more verses later, in that chapter in the book of Psalms, someone from that land came up and said, basically, sang us a song. And they said, how can we sing a song in a strange land? Listen, sometimes God requires such a song to sing in a strange land. But my point is this. If they could sing in that strange land, if they could sing in such a land that they were held captive in, and yet they hung their harps for a while, but then they began to sing a song in a strange land, could they not sing when they came back to the land that they were taken away from? Listen, we as people, in general as people, we do what we want to do. If you want to tithe and give to God, listen, you're going to do it and you're going to find one way or the other how to do it. I like, Brother Ceylon, I like your saying. I think I've adopted Brother Selah in saying people are going to do what they want to do. Is that right? Listen, this thing could clear up 100%, and I'm still convinced, and I'm not being negative, I'm not being draining, a prophet of doom, not a prophet at all. But what I'm saying is, this pandemic can be over completely, and there's going to be some that struggle to getting back to God's house. That struggle with getting back to God's house. Listen, and he says that there is a people that says it is not time. Now look at verse number 3 and 4. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, I like how he turns it around. He says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses or paneled houses? The paneled housing has to do with great detail and construction. And this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And so it's not that the Jews that returned didn't have the energy to build. It's not that they didn't have the passion to grab a hammer and nail. It was that just there was this priority list. Their place comes first, Brother Selah. Their home comes first. Their families come first. And listen, we are to be there for our families. We are to have a roof over our heads. But if we want God's blessing to follow our families and to follow our church, there is a priority list, and it's God's house has supreme priority. The Bible says that, not me. And we'll get into some other of these verses in just a moment. And so Haggai the prophet, and listen, these things can be mirrored in our day. So Haggai the prophet, he gives a concern here in verse number 2 down through verse number 3. He turns things on them and lets them know that they have the power, they have the passion, it's just in the wrong place. I think one key to this is in verse number 4, he says sealed houses or paneled houses. This is with great detail. So Haggai is giving his concern here. And then we see Haggai's call. Again, chapter 1 has to do with a sobering word. But then there's a consideration, point number 3. Verse number 5, he says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He says it again in verse number 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. There's two more times that he says it throughout this short book, chapter 2 and verse number 8. He says, consider now from this day and upward. And so definitely there's a consideration here that continues through this book. And so Haggai gives out a word of consideration. He says, God's house is going to waste. Your houses are coming up. Beautiful houses are coming up. God's blessings follow the building of God's house. He says, I want you to consider what you're doing. Consider your motive. Consider your priority list. And then he gets into some of the ins and outs of what he wants them to consider in detail. Look at verse 6. He says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. You've heard that expression, you got a hole in your pocket. So he says in verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. I will take pleasure in it and will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, look here, I did blow upon it. He said, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Listen, just in the Christian life, our walk with Jesus, there is a priority list. God comes first, and He'll take care of the rest. And I said this not long ago, and it's true. I feel this with all my heart. I believe there's Bible to back it up. But for me personally, it's my relationship with Jesus first. And then it's my relationship with my wife. And then my child. And then it's pastor. And that's not a bad thing to follow up to. Because it's God's divine order. I'm not to put my position as pastor ahead of my wife. I'm not to put it ahead of my child or even my own walk with the Lord, if that makes sense. But everything has its divine order. And if we want God to bless our lives and our homes, we've got to put things in divine order. Everybody in this room, if you're married, guess what? Here's your order. Your relationship with God first. Then under that, husbands, you have a God-given responsibility to be a godly husband to your wife and to operate in a godly way. It's up to you, husband, to hear from the Lord and guide your family. Yes, that is a very sobering thing. But it's your relationship with God first. And then it's with your spouse. Same for the wife to the man. But then it's to the children. And then it's to your call of God in your life. Amen? And we see in these verses that they had it backwards. They were coming out of captivity. And I guess they had that feeling of being a free spirit. You know, whoo, free as a bird, out of jail. You know, they were captive for all those years. And so that leads me to say this. We've got to be careful after victories. We are most vulnerable after God has done something big in our life. We tend to lower our guard. That's what these did. They were released from prison. They came home. No doubt they started working on their homes. And listen, within those things, that's fine. But if you keep God first, it's even more fine. And probably in the eyes of the world, that would be a commendable thing, is to be released from jail and to begin working on your house. But in God's economy, it's God who has released us from our prison of sin. It's God who has purchased our salvation. And because of that, we are to be about the Father's business. And yes, it is time to build God's house. Yes, it is time for the work of God to continue. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to live my life feeling my leg every time I put my hand in my pocket. Well, honey, you know it's mortgage time again. Well, hold on. Oh. It's time for the power bill. Hold on. Let me think. Where could I have gone wrong? God has been faithful all this time. Where have I gone wrong in this? Oh, maybe God's getting my attention. Because it has been a while since I've opened my Bible and read to feed myself. Let me just go reach down here to pay this. You wake up one morning, everything is, your investments are blown to smithereens. Why is that? Oh yeah, maybe, just maybe, God is teaching me a lesson about putting Him first. Listen, I'm not preaching a money gospel. I'm just saying God provides. And listen, I don't know about you, but when there is a tight spot in my life, when there is a tight spot in the church, at least I want to be able to consciously know that I've given it my all to the Lord Jesus, so that even if the thing comes apart, at least I tried. God knows I've tried. My conscience bears witness I've tried. The Holy Ghost warms my heart that I tried. And the Lord, well, it's up to Him providentially. But I would worry this morning if his position from first place has gone down that rung in that ladder to any other place. And I reach in to pay for that mortgage. There's nothing there. I reach in to pay for that power bill and there's nothing there. And things are falling apart at the church and all of that. I would be worried if God was not first in my life. If I had not been putting Him first, I would be concerned. I would be concerned. So we see here that Haggai was concerned. Because they said it's not time to build God's house. In Haggai, he makes a consideration. He says, consider your ways. Again, verse number 6, you sown much, bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Verse number 9, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man into his own house. Verse 11, and I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground breaketh forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. We see the consideration here. Lastly, this morning, there's a consolation. Remember I said that Haggai has a balanced word. Through the Bible, you'll find that God gives a balanced word. And we see here that chapter number 1 deals with the call, the concern, the consideration, and all of these things that are out of order. But then we see the consolation. Verse number 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. How about that? Their spirits were stirred. Again, I want to say, as I said in the beginning, there needs to be preaching in God's house. There needs to be teaching. There needs to be teaching in our homes. Not just that which makes our ears tickle, make us feel good. But we need to be stirred to change. So Haggai's message, it caused a stirring. And now we're starting to see a consolation. Chapter number 2. Notice in verse number 3. Listen to this question. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Now that first temple and Solomon's temple, the glories of it, and all the fancies it had compared to this one wasn't really in comparison. But in verse number 4 he says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. In verse number 5, according to the word that I coveted with you, when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. The consolation is this. The people of God, they heeded the message, and they worked. There was a promise here that the latter house will give greater glory than the former house. Although in appearance it wasn't the same, Solomon's compared to this one wasn't in comparison. He even asked some of the older people, who is left among you in verse 3 that saw this house in our first glory? That first house had a fashion to it. But the second one, the Bible says that God was going to shake the heavens. Calvary Baptist Church had an appearance for a number of years. Great, great. God's glory has filled this house even way before, even when we just heard of what was going on here at Calvary before we even came this way. We know there's a great heritage here. We know souls have been saved and lives have been changed. And there was a certain fashion to it, appearance to it. But I believe there's some things that can be mirrored out of the book of Haggai. I believe there's some principles here that if we continue and work, I'm not talking about just a catapult back in and disregard everything we've been heeding the past year. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying a conscious effort to forge forward little by little by little, because this holding pattern is only going to hurt us in the long run. You've heard, as I've heard, complacency, becoming content, watching church from home and not going to Sunday night services and Wednesday night services. God forbid we get to that place. And listen, there is an awesome, sobering responsibility that falls on my shoulders that I gladly take up and deal with. I don't want to be responsible for God's people growing content being at home on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Church, hear my heart this morning. Little by little, as God illuminates the steps, we will do our very best to continue God's work at His house for His honor and for His glory. We're not going to disregard all these things that we put into place with all the CDC, all that kind of stuff, the guidelines. We're not going to disregard that. We're going to be responsible. The Lord just wants you to know this morning that we've got to move ahead, and we're going to. And so as they come, they're getting a song prepared. Again, I'd like to have a time of prayer together. And let's do it this way. Give the invitation. And let's all stand to our feet this morning. We are taking into caution our measures, even concerning the altar call. But all that feel led and all that feel safe enough to come down and pray for Calvary. And listen, you can pray right where you're at. I understand that. Don't feel no pressure like you're not praying or you can't pray from where you're at.